Amen. I mean, He is. He is so good to us. We don't understand it sometimes, and we can't figure it out. It's kind of like Brother Alvin is talking about, man. Every one of us, after you're saved, you can kind of look back and you can see there's some things in your life, and you know that that was where the Lord met you and helped you and brought you through some of those things. Amen? And if y'all were here Wednesday night, if you wasn't, you can go back on Facebook, I think, and look at the service on Wednesday night, and you can see the preaching on the message. And the message on Wednesday night incorporated, wasn't just solely on, but it incorporated the 22nd Psalm, Psalm number 22. And I hope if you know a little bit about the Psalms, when you look at Psalm 22, you can take Psalm 22, 23, and 24, and they form a trio of songs that say something about the Savior and some specific area of his life. And when you look at the 22nd Psalm, you could call it the sorrowful psalm of the sacrifice. And if you look at the 24th Psalm, I think you could say this. I believe you could call it the sublime psalm of the sovereign. If you look at those in Psalm 22, and it starts out and it says this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's one of the cries that Jesus made from the cross while he was dying. It was part of the prayers that Jesus prayed from the cross. We talked about that, as I say, on Wednesday night. And then, you know, you go through that entirety of that psalm, and it is, as I say, it's sort of a sad song. I mean, he talks about God has forsaken him, and everybody's looking at him, and they're treating him like a dog, and he's all in a pitiful kind of situation, and he's there. And that is a psalm that is part of the life of Jesus as he hung on the cross. And then in Psalm 24, it starts out and said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within. And it talks about, as you get down to the end of the 24th Psalm, it says, who is this King of glory? And it says that twice. And it says at the very end of it, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And that's one of those times when you're at the pinnacle, at the height, at the sublimity of who our Savior and our Sovereign in heaven really is. But when you get to Psalm 23, Psalm 23 is in between, and you're like, what, you know, what is it? Here we are at this crescendo in 24. Here we are at this peak of pain and suffering in 22. But right in the middle, you see the sweet psalm of the shepherd. And the psalmist writes and says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And we heard a little bit of that the other day at Brother Curtis's sister Sandra's funeral. And the pastor went through some of those things and read some of those verses, or probably quoted the whole thing. But man, when you think about that, as I say, that is the sweet psalm. I mean, you get to a place here, and it's been so bitter in 22. And it's going to be so grand in 24. But right in the middle of it, you know what that is? That's definitely where you and I are today. Amen. I mean, it's where we are. We're just here. But we're here, and we hear the sweetness of our Savior. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still water. Now, I want you to notice verse number 3. He says, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, for his honor, for his glory. The Lord Jesus is doing some things for me and you as our great and our mighty shepherd that, boy, we don't even understand sometimes. But aren't you glad he is the good shepherd? Aren't you glad? And listen, I don't know what in the world I'm doing necessarily this morning, but I'm glad that the Lord does it. But look at it, as I say, in verse number 3, I want you to notice those first few little words. He said, "He restoreth my soul." You know what I think? I think we've got a world full of folks today, many folks in the world, and they need their souls restored. I believe this old world has beat people down. I believe it has done some things to us, and you know, we're out here as Christians, even as Christians. And I feel like, I mean, when you read this, the psalmist said, "The Lord's my shepherd, and he's done all these things for me. And I want you to know, he restores my soul." And there are days, there are times, there are seasons, and sometimes there are years, and you need your soul restored. Amen? Man, y'all see some of these old cars that people drive around, and you know, back when we was teenagers and all that, and you know, you see somebody has taken it and they've done a different paint job and they've took the interior out and they've done, and you say, "Man, what'd you do?" And they said, "Well, we restored this old car." Oh, listen, I've seen some of them that were beat, some of them that were battered, some of them that were scratched and dented and just plain old ugly sometimes just from the years that had been on it. But you know what? When they brought it into that place, and Donnie, they don't know a whole lot about that. When you take them in and you restore them, you bring them back to a place where they once were and how they once looked. Now, it won't be exactly the same, but you're bringing it back. Thank God, aren't you glad this morning that the Lord can bring some restoration into the souls of me and you as we need those things in our lives?
Amen.
There's probably some of you in here this morning, you've been beat, battered, whooped, and I mean just stomped by this old silly world. You're here and you need some restoration because you have been in the battle. You've been in the wars of this old world. And man, you just say, "Hey, God, I'm in a terrible condition." But aren't you glad he can restore your soul? The psalmist says that. As you begin to read this psalm and you look in that, he said, "He restoreth my soul." Don't you notice right beside that there is a colon? And this is not an English lesson or a grammar lesson, but generally in sentence structure, a sentence that has a colon and a phrase after it, that phrase that follows just adds a little bit more clarity to what was said before. You say, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, that means he's trying to tell you a little bit more about "He restoreth my soul." How does he restore my soul? And the psalmist said, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Sometimes we've gotten wearied with the world. We've gotten worried by the world. We've gotten wayward from the world. But thank God he's there as the good shepherd. You know what that shepherd does for his sheep? He goes out and hunts those that have gone off the way. Remember Jesus telling that story? He said there was a guy that had 100, if you will, 100 sheep, and one of them, he left the 99 and he went out into the dark and he went out into the cold and he went out into the wilderness. He went out into the desert and he found that one sheep that was lost. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad he went out hunting for you? Woo, aren't you glad of that? Oh, that little song that we sing sometime, the prodigal son, on that second verse, it says, "Like the sheep that had wandered," the sheep that had strayed, "I'd wandered from Jesus." Amen? Oh, listen, all of us have been there, but the good shepherd sought through the heat and through the cold.
Amen.
The 99 he left in his fold, but he just wanted to find that one little sheep that was hungry and cold. Somebody needs some restoration here this morning. There's somebody here today. And you know what? Your soul is worn. Your soul, as I say, is wearied. Your soul is just in a mess, probably. And David says, "Boy, the shepherd sure has been good to me." He said, "Can I just sing my little sweet song about him?" He said, He leads me by the still water. He puts me in those green pastures. He gives me that tender grass. He's put me in all these wonderful places. And he said, and he's restoring my soul. He's restoring my soul. I've been, and you know, there's some people that you see in your Bible that needed a little soul restoration. You remember when Peter, Jesus was talking to him, said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, no, I'll never do that. And you know the story how he did. And you remember in John 21, after everything had happened, and they wasn't sure what happened to Jesus, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. A bunch of them said, well, we're going with you. And you remember the story. Jesus is on the shore. They fished all night, didn't catch anything. And then Jesus from the shore says, children, have ye any meat? Y'all got anything for us to fix and cook? And nope, we fished all night and we ain't caught nothing. He said, cast your net out on the right side. Oh, and they did. And you remember, John looked at Peter and he said, it's the Lord. Woo, aren't you glad? They come running into the shore. Now, that was some restoration for somebody right there just to know it was the Lord. But when they got there, remember what Jesus says to Peter? He looks at him and he asks him 3 times. Peter's denied him 3 times. Jesus asks him 3 times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And boy, he just was like, Lord, you know I love you. And he asked him a second time, same question. Peter gives him saying, third time he asks him. And each time he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Can I tell you, Peter needed some restoration for his soul. He still had something he needed to do, but he needed some restoration in his soul. He needs some restoration. Hey, let me tell you, King David got in a mess with Bathsheba, didn't he? And the good prophet Nathan went in there and stuck his finger in his face and said, David, God's pointing you out and you need to be restored, boy. You've made a mess. You've caused all kinds of calamity. You've just created something here, and it's going to be a mess. But the Lord wants to restore you. He said, thou art the man. And David said, I have sinned before God. And you know, you can go in the psalm. You can read his penitent psalm. If you want to read that in Psalm 51, you can read how that David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Can I tell you, I believe these folks here in this building right now, this morning, you're in that place where, boy, I sure would like to have that joy back. Remember them little kids singing that song? I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. To stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the joy of Jesus in my heart. Yes, I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the joy of Jesus in my heart. Boy, sometimes that leaves, doesn't it? And you may be able to mouth the words, but it just doesn't seem like it's there. Amen. It seems like you're just, you know, in a rut down at the very bottom of it, and you need some restoration. And the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul. Sometimes your soul needs restoring. Sometimes the Lord just needs to do something for you. Aren't you glad he can just come to you and sit down there by you? Put his loving Holy Ghost arms around you. Just hug you and draw you up real close to him and just tell you that he loves you. Isn't that good when you know that Jesus can say, hey, I just want you to know you're mine and I love you. But Lord, I've made a mess. I'm like Peter, I've made a mess. I'm like David, I've made a mess. I'm like others in the Bible, I've just made a mess. And he said, but you know what? That's what I specialize in. I can restore those that's made a mess. Amen. Amen? The Lord can restore you here this morning. But you know what you got to do? And if you're lost and you need to get saved, he can restore you to a place where you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Wasn't that a wonderful story, hearing about Reagan?
Amen.
And her salvation?
That's right.
I mean, wasn't that good? Now, I'll be honest with you, me and Lynn sitting there at home, and the phone rang, and or had a message to call Brother Jonathan, and we're thinking all kinds of crazy stuff. We're thinking, oh, no, maybe something happened to Sister Becky on the way home from church, and there was an accident or something happened to somebody else in the family. I mean, we're just, you know, you think all kinds of things, right? She said, well, call him. Find out what's going on. So I called him. You know what he said? I just wanted to tell you, Reagan got saved. Woo, man. Ain't that? Hey, you know what that made me do? Y'all going to think it's funny? We're watching Cops. Amen? We're watching them cops on our arrest people. We turned that off. We just got had a little bit of time over that. Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Amen.
That the Lord is still in the business of saving sinners. And can I tell you, he's still ready to do it here again this morning. And some of the saints that have been just whipped and beaten and hurt and pushed by this world, he wants you to come and just get out that big cup. Just take a big old drink of that grace and let him just stay there by. Let me just tell you that. Let me look at this, and I don't know, this just popped in my head, but over in the book of Ruth, y'all, and that's one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you want to look over in Ruth chapter number 4, Ruth chapter number 4, you know the story how that the Lord has brought Naomi back from Moab, and only daughter-in-law was with her. She had two daughter-in-law. Only one that's left is Ruth. And you know what? You talk about somebody that needed to be restored.
Amen.
It was Naomi. Naomi came to the gates of the city. And she looked at those people and they said, well, that kind of looks like Naomi, but she looks different. She said, don't call me Naomi anymore. She said, call me Mara. Because the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. The name Mara means bitter. The name Naomi meant pleasant or happy. And she said, I ain't happy anymore. God's dealt very bitterly. Y'all just call me bitter from now, because I'm bitter over all the things. Maybe you're here this morning, you're bitter over a lot of stuff that's happened in your life. And you know the story, how that God begins to do something. And Ruth goes out, and chapter number 2 said it was her hap to light on a field that's owned by a man named Boaz. I won't tell you, that wasn't a hap. It didn't just happen. God had it planned. And when she got there, old Boaz is smitten with Ruth. And he said, who is this? And they said, oh, it's that old Moabite woman. He said, yeah, she may be, but man, there's something about her. Aren't you glad God looked at you and the world said, you don't want him. He ain't much. But God said, yeah, I think I do. I think I do. I think I want him. I'm going to pay the price, and I'm going to receive him. And as he does, hey, Ruth becomes his wife. But then something just unusual happens. There are no children in this book mentioned until Boaz and Ruth get married. Chapter number 4. Look there, if you will, with me. Chapter number 4, verse number 13 says, so Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. And she bare a son.
Amen.
Listen though, verse 14, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be he, be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto you what? A restorer of thy life. Hey, there's Naomi sitting there with a little baby by the name of Obed, and she had no hope. She had no thought. When she came out of the land of Moab, lost her husband, lost both her sons, she said, we're in a mess. I'm a mess. I'm bitter. I'm upset at God. And you know what? All of a sudden she's sitting here in chapter number 4 and there's a little baby in her lap and she's looking at Obed and them ladies, they said, he's the restorer of your life. Boy, God wants to birth something into your heart that'll be the restoration for your life. Amen. As I say, I don't know who you are. I ain't got a clue. I don't know what we're doing this morning real good. But, hey, God wants to restore something in your heart and in your life. And as I say, if you're here and you're not right, we've got to be a good time to come down here and find him as your Savior. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready. Whatever you may want to sing. But here's a story of restoration. And you know what old Naomi does? She's sitting there grinning from ear to ear. Rocking that baby, she had no idea what ever. And oh, listen, they said, "What are you gonna name him?" She said, "I think we're gonna name him Obed." If you'll look at the very heart of that name of Obed, it means to serve, or in another way, it might mean to worship. And here she is; she's got worship in her lap, and it has restored her soul. And you know what? Ooh, listen to this. Here's Obed. And then what does he do? Well, the Bible tells you that Obed begat the father. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And what did David do? David said, "The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
He restoreth my soul."
Amen.
And old great-grandma Naomi said, "Done been there and had that. Hallelujah. He restored mine first." Amen? Aren't you glad of that? Man, let's stand, if you would, this morning. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron? Page 57. Maybe you're here this morning. God's wanting to do a little work of restoration on you. Would you come? Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.